The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
The humanity of the priest is a bridge to encountering Christ and should not be a barrier. People always say, like, well, if you weren't a priest, what would you be doing? And I'm like, it's hard for me to think of anything other than what I'm doing.
That's what we're striving to discern, is what is God's plan, his dream, his will, his desire for me, where I'm going to be most fulfilled. And it really is through living a sacramental life that is absolutely going to support that.
When you're married, you have to realize it's not just you anymore. It's you and your wife and God.
If you desire to be truly happy, then your life should not be about you.
Welcome to God Calling, our locally produced program that explores the various vocations available to Catholics in all walks of life. Now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Thank you once again for joining us. I'm God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski, where we discuss vocations. And a very unique woman here today joining us. This is Sister Mary Alice Prima. And Sister, you are a member of the Sisters of Our Lady of Kilimanjaro, based here in Cleveland right now. Tell me about growing up. You grew up in Tanzania.
So I was born and raised up in Tanzania. So just for geographical location, Tanzania is located in East Africa. So, and I grew up in Kilimanjaro, by the slopes of Mount Kilimanjaro, and in the village, actually. So with my parents and my siblings. My daddy is a civil engineer. I can call him local civil engineer because he doesn't have a degree in engineering, but he's a very good constructor. And my mom is a homestay mom. But when you say homestay mom in Africa, is the mother who takes care of the farm where we produce the food to feed the family and take care of the small livestock to feed the family. So most of our food came from our own production. We produce our own food that we consume at home. Mm-hmm. So one thing that I'm grateful for is that I grew up in a big family with my siblings in the village. And I'm very grateful that growing up in a big family, I learned how to share, and really keeping things for myself is never really part of me. So I'm thankful for my parents. They raised up us that way, and that's why I grew up to be a person. Sharing is my really something that's very rewarding.
Mm-hmm. What type of religious training did you have? Did you go to a Catholic school, or did you go to Mass every week? Tell me about that.
So growing up in a big family, and my parents just being ordinary parents, so low class, working class, we really didn't have that money to spend to go to a private school, so we went to public school. But public school in Tanzania, where we went, sure, I could say they could be equivalent to private school, because I was glad to be taught by nuns at my primary school and high school, though they are public, and that's how I ended up getting my vocation, through seeing their work, the good work they did at the public school, and preparing children for the sacraments in the Catholic Church, the sacraments of initiation, really attracted me to become like them, to kind of like give up my life as they did, caring, mm-hmm. loving, and really being there for the kids.
So just their example was really your calling from God, just watching them and what they do and how they help people.
Sure, I guess for sure that was a calling from God, because I really wanted to enter the convent when I was second grade.
Oh, really?
So I went to the convent and I said, can I become a nun? Like the one who inspired me most was the one who taught me at the parish for the first communion, who prepared me for the first communion, who taught me the catechism. So I was like, can I join the convent? And they told me, this is too ill. So they kept me for 2 days and then they sent me back home. I was disappointed to some extent, because how they sent me back home, they kind of like tell me, you have to go home because there are some visitors who are coming and every room is going to be occupied. So go home and then we call you back. So I went home and they never called me back. I stayed and I told my mom, you know, I'm waiting for the staff to call me back, but she's not calling me back. And my mom knew the trick, so she said, okay, they will call you back. And when I encountered the sister again, I said, sister, can I come now? Are the visitors gone? she can like say, oh, they are gone, but can you stay a little longer until you finish elementary school? And then when I figured out that she actually used a trick to keep me home, I can like start to ignore that call, like say, oh, okay, this is not the main. I start to ignore and just like to dismiss that idea of becoming a nun. But when I get into high school, when I was actually doing a discernment, seriously, like praying, trying to discern between marriage life and becoming a nun, and I was praying because that was kind of like I was being attracted to both. So planning, like if I have a family, this I would take care of them. I was really attracted to take care of the poor because growing up in a village and in the developing country, so I saw many people who went hungry, who went on bare feet. I'm happy that my family, that is my mom and my dad, could provide for us, but I wish to support these other children who were poor. I was planning, like, if I get married, then I should spend most of my time and my money helping the poor. But when I was, as I was praying, this in my vocation, this idea came into my mind, like, yes, you can study hard, you can get education, maybe high-paying job, because I was planning to become a business person.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea that I can support many people, I could not do it. But seeing the sisters, how many they're supporting, then I say, if I become a nun, then I can support that much, as the sisters do. Together, we can do much. So discerning that, then had the peace in my heart. I say, okay, this is the vocation that God is calling me. So I approached the sisters and wrote a letter, and when they invited me for come and see, I was impressed with their convent and how they pray daily, attend daily masses, something that we didn't do at home. At home, we just went for the Sunday mass because we lived far from the parish. So we are just going for Sunday mass at the outstation. So I can like keep on showing me that this is the call that God wants you to serve him through this call, this vocation.
But tell me about the life in the village. What is that like? People with no shoes and things like that. Does that make you want to reach out and help in some fashion as well?
Sure. So seeing people going on bare feet, going hungry, or toiling throughout the day with little food, I really wished I could help, I could give. But we didn't have much at home to give or to share. But whatever we had, the little we had, we could share with our neighbors. The ones we live close with, we could share. We always went into our neighbor's house, we eat, they come to our house, they eat. So that's how we live in the village. So playing together, we didn't ever have something, say this is our food, but for the family, but it's our food as a village. So we always share, even if you have you produce your crops in the farm, your neighbor can just pass by and say, can I have some maize? Can I have some beans? We are really free to share.
That's interesting because even before you became a sister, you were living the community life in Tanzania.
And that's true. So for sure, community life has never been that big challenge to me, besides like just bearing with each other's personality, but sharing, caring for each other, that is something that we grew up with in the village since I was young.
Mm-hmm. Sister, if you can stay right there, we'll be back after commercial break on God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Thanks for staying tuned. This is Paul Orlowski. I'm God Calling with Sister Mary Alice. Sister, you entered the order and took your final perpetual vows in 2020. What brought you to the United States?
So after joining my community, I joined the community after high school. So my community wanted to take me for further education, higher education, to equip me more to kind of like do the work here more effectively, as they do most of our sisters who join after high school or grade school. Educating our sisters, and that has been really something that my community has been doing. In Tanzania, the education, high school education is divided into two portions. So there is ordinary level, that's 4 years, and then advanced level, that's 2 years. So ordinary level is equivalent to 8th grade to 11th grade in the United States, and then advanced level equivalent to 12th grade and 13th grade. So in the advanced level, you can like narrow down the classes or the subjects to 3. So I took science classes, and because I had ambition of becoming a physician, and this came part of my life after, because I said I was really motivated to become a business person so that they could make some money and help the poor people in my country. But this idea changed up when I was in high school, like taking a bus from my village to the school. And then a woman came actually up in the bus. She was in labor pain, and then unfortunately the bus could not make it to the hospital, to the nearby health center, for her to have her baby. So she had a baby in the bus, but unfortunately the mother and the baby died. So this actually kind of like struck my life. I say it kind of like switched my mind from business person to become, flip the coin, I could say that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I say I could make a change if I become a doctor or I work in the health field. If I could be having even the little knowledge about health, I could at least help the mother who died in the bus. So, and that was another step in me deciding the vocation to become a physician. So in advanced level, I took the science classes, which is PCB, physics, chemistry, and biology. And that could actually lead me to medical school, like in Tanzania. So after that, when I joined the community, I can like have a break between school and formation. So I was in formation for 5 years. And I made my festival in 2012. Then after there, I worked as a nurse aide at our nursing home. So my superiors all knew that I took the science classes, and they knew that when I was interviewed in the community, I actually told them that I want to become a physician. And I told them the reason why I want to become a physician. After working at the nursing home for a couple of years, they found that I could be a good fit to become a physician.
Mm-hmm.
And so they sent me here in the United States so at least I can get the, I could say, high quality education with the technology, and then go back home to serve in these rural areas or in the remote areas where we have some health centers ministered mostly to the women and the children and the poor. So I came to the United States in 2016. So I just came there to John Carroll.
Mm-hmm.
And that was through my sister, our sister, I could call my sister because we are from the same community,
yes,
who went to school here in Cleveland State. And when she was asked by my superiors to kind of like look around for a scholarship or school where I could come to study, so she landed up with John Carroll. And I'm very grateful for John Carroll University for kind of like sponsoring me through my bachelor's degree. So I graduated with the bachelor's in science, majoring in biology. I came then and said to kind of like pursue my education to become a physician.
You must have done very well because you were financial reasons stopped you, but you were going to go to medical school.
Yes, so after I finished John Carroll in 2020, I kind of like work at St. Adalbert Catholic School downtown, and this was from my superiors, and because of the status, I could not get medical school to actually take international students, so St. Adalbert sponsored my visa from student visa to working visa, and I've been there for those 3 years working at St. Adalbert. And this year I was asked to work as a transitional delegate for religious at the Diocese of Cleveland from January until this time when I applied, because actually I'm on like, I have now like the working permit, the authorization, working in the United States. So I can like reapply to school now to go to medical school. And I get accepted into Maryland University for 1 year program that actually could take me to the ideal program after 1 year. But due to financial constraints, then I could not get in.
So really the incident on that bus really changed your life, that woman passing away.
That's true. That's changed my life, and my passion has never changed since then. I'm really still longing to be in this field and safeguard people. I mean, working with Jesus in his healing ministry.
That's kind of the genesis of your order, the working with women and children, those in need, the poor. You're in the perfect order to do that type of work, the work that's your passion.
That's to show my community works with the poor and those in need. And so the good thing about my community, why I chose this community, is because actually the sisters who inspired me are from my community. And another thing is like our charism is to work with those who are underserved, the marginalized. Just thinking of the simplicity and readiness to work with God's people without choosing whether it's Catholic or whether it's Muslim, we work for the salvation of humanity, with everyone. And we do everything for them. So that kind of like the broad idea of working in a field that kind of like, I didn't want like concern myself to health field and what if, and my kind of like that vocation changed.
Mm-hmm.
So, but this community has kind of like wide idea. We're doing everything in healthy, in education, social work, engineering, domestic work. So kind of like you can fit everywhere.
Mm-hmm. A little bit of everything. We're also working down at Our Lady of Fatima, so a center there that's very, very active in the community on Lexington Avenue.
So when I came to the United States, we were staying in Canton, and it was commuting from Canton to John Carroll. We can like end up looking a place to stay in Cleveland that could be at least a short commuting from where I live to John Carroll. So Father Dan Begin, who is now deceased, accepted us to Our Lady of Hope. We stayed at Our Lady of Hope, but before we reached the agreement with the diocese how we should be living there, Father Dan passed away. But on his passing, then the diocese took on the responsibility of finding a place for us to settle. So with the help of Father Dan Schlegel and Father Bob Mava, who worked very hard to kind of like renovate the house at Fatima and make sure that we can have a place to stay. And then that's where I stayed until when the community was ready to send some more sisters who can come to work in the diocese. So the diocese like expressed the need of some sisters to work in the offices, and some Catholics and the schools, Catholic schools too, interested in our ministerial activities after working at St. Adalbert for a while. So Cleveland Central Catholic High School reached out to us for some sisters to work there, St. Stanislaus, St. Aloysius as well, and the diocese who actually reached out to ask for to get you on the office for the delegate for religious.
Sister, can I pause you right there? We'll be back after a couple of messages with Sister Mary Alice right here on God Calling. Sister Mary Alice is joining us on God Calling. She is a member of the Sisters of Our Lady of Kilimanjaro, serving very appropriately in very underserved areas of Cleveland, all of the parishes that you just mentioned, St. Adalbert's and Fatima and many, many more, that folks need a helping hand, and that's why you're here. Now, your order has more than 800 sisters, well, not nationwide, but in the world, which is a lot of helping hands.
That's true. So we thank God that we are blessed with a new vocation, and we have a good number of young sisters joining our community. So as I speak, we have more than 45 postulants, 60 novices. Just
wow.
Mentioned a few, and over 140 juniors. Those are the ones who have not made their perpetual vows yet. Also, we have a good number of those who have retired, who are in the nursing home or in our infirmary. God is good, but the only thing that comes down to that's actually educating our young sisters. As I said, my community sent me here to be educated, and so to those who are coming behind us, most of them just completed high school. Nowadays few are joining after college, mm-hmm. but that's few. So we still have a challenge to educate our sisters so as to be able to carry on the ministerial activities more effectively and efficiently, especially in these challenging times. With advancing technology and everything, then you cannot give what you don't have. So
right.
Really, education is the key.
How important is it to, in some of the areas that, many of the areas that you're ministering to are largely African-American, how important is them to see a person of color in these roles and helping them? And does that foster maybe some vocations in people that you're dealing with and helping?
I said I've been working at St. Adalbert, and that's 99% African-American and is in the inner city. St. Aloysius also is a 99%. So these kids who see us, really, even the adults, are very excited and they're very happy. Some even reach out and say, hey, I'm really happy you're here. I've never seen a black sister in my life. I've never seen a black sister in a habit. So they kind of like come out and say, I'm very happy you're here. Thank you for being here. Thank you for doing what you are doing. Thank you for saying yes to God's calling. And that's kind of like very motivating and very rewarding. But having some who can like say, yes, we're going to join the religious life. Sure, we have just a couple of them like saying we're going to be sister. I want to become a sister. But I don't know yet because we are new community in the diocese.
Mm-hmm.
So we cannot really say we have one really who is in the community who is joining, because like those who have approached us are the ones who in grade school. So they say, I can't wait to finish high school. I'm going to join a community. But then we keep on praying for them. And most of the students who attend the Catholic schools too, they're not Catholics. So the very rewarding thing that I've seen working at this is elementary school, especially at St. Adalbert, is seeing the impact that we have on the children, especially mm-hmm. teaching them about religion. evangelization as being a very rewarding aspect of being these schools, because some kids at home, really, parents are very busy. They're very busy with life and they don't have that much time to spend with their kids. So when they come to school, some they really feel it's only at school that they have time to go to church. And when they miss school or when the school is closed, then there is no mass, they can like, sister, there is no mass today, so what can you do? Sometimes I was helping with religion classes, so in order to kind of like fulfill their thirsty or kind of like pray. I used to pray with them in the classroom, mm-hmm. pray with them or sometimes watch the TV mass. That was very rewarding to them. So I can see for sure there is no a good a many who are actually asking to be nuns, but at least those who are being kind of like having that conversion in life, kind of like to learn more about God, to kind of like embrace prayer life in their lives. So that's kind of very rewarding.
It seems like you're there to, A, maybe feed, but also feed that sort of thing, the spiritual hunger that some folks have, and you're there for them. If you weren't, who knows what would happen? It's got to be very rewarding.
And that's true.
Yeah.
So it's like we are planting the seed, so we don't know yet how the plant is going to grow and the fruit. So we leave that then to God to take care of.
Well, I just heard a story about a grade school child that did it, and that's you. So let's pray that that happens again.
That's true.
And at least a few of those young women. Tell me about the delegate work. Who do you meet with? How do you report to the diocese?
So working as a delegate for religious is actually working on the behalf of the bishop with the religious communities, both women and men in the diocese. So the office was vacant like for 2 years. Mm-hmm. The sister who was delegate there before was from the Order of the Most Holy Trinity. And unfortunately, she passed in 2020, September. She passed of cancer. And since her passing, there was nobody in the office, so the office was vacant. So coming in January and being that kind of my first assignment in the office was like, I have to learn my things through. So I can like reach out to the communities who actually can like help me out. And the one who was in the office, we were blessed to have a very good secretary who actually can like took me through how we do things, how we handle the files, the records and everything. So what I did mostly for sure since January is like visiting the sisters, get to know them in person and talking to them, kind of like ask how they do in their vocation, how are they recruiting new vocations. And sadly is like most of the communities, they haven't get new vocation. Maybe they have a gap of 20 years, 10 years without a new vocation. So, but meeting them and get to talk to them and get to know them in person, attending the meetings and help them in the process, like discerning as they discern like what our future should look like. So that has been the thing that I've been doing mostly, and it's very rewarding to get to know more sisters and get mm-hmm. to even to learn how they handle their situations.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Sister, thank you very much. I do appreciate you joining us on God Calling. Sister Mary Alice Marima, joining us from the Sisters of Our Lady of Mount Kilimanjaro in East Africa. So, sister, thank you for coming. This is God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. We hope you'll join us each and every week at this very same time.
Thank you for listening to God Calling. If you missed part of today's show or you just want to hear it again, go to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the On Demand tab. And remember, wherever you are in life, God is calling you.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.